welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today's conversation is really wrapping up the past few weeks of podcasts where we've been really specifically speaking to leaders about different things, kind of trying to challenge them a little bit in their leadership, their thinking. And so we're kind of wrapping that up with there is always something to learn. And it was interesting as we were planning this, again, we don't script it, but we do plan. You brought up the thing of, you know, I feel like we just keep saying that, like, don't tune out. There's something more to learn. And but why is it really important that we focus on coachability as a leader?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of the humility piece. It goes back to the piece that I always have something to learn. I guess, I don't know, a Bible story that keeps coming to my mind when it comes to learning is Balaam, right? Like, I think we've talked a little bit about that before, but Balaam's this really weird Old Testament story where Balaam was called by this king to go curse the children of Israel. And so Balaam's riding his donkey to go curse the children of Israel. And there's this angel in the way, but the donkey can see the angel. And it's an angel with a sword that's going to like kill Balaam if he walks by. It's like I said, weird story, but the donkey sees the angel, but Balaam can't. And so Balaam starts like cussing at his donkey and whipping his donkey and even almost, I think, like hurting his donkey. And finally, at the end, God gives the donkey the power to speak, and the donkey tells him what's up. It's just this weird story, but like, if Balaam could learn from a donkey, like, who can I learn from? Like, can I learn from people that I see as less intelligent than me? Can I learn from people that, you know, aren't at my level, right? Like, can I learn from, you know, Pastor and Donna sitting and talking on mics? Well, maybe. Like, I'm not positive you can, but maybe you can learn from us.
Are you equating us to a talking donkey?
I mean, maybe we're just maybe slightly better, but I think, you know, once we have that humility with our learning, I think it puts us in a different posture of, I think sometimes we say this, like, we ask the question, well, I'm doing so much for the world. What is the world doing for me? Well, I guess my question would be like, what is our posture toward the world around us? Are we seeing is the only reason that we're not being fed by the world because we're seeing ourselves as just the person who's there to give because we know all the right answers? Or are we letting ourselves be fed by the world? And not, you know, we got to be careful with that. Like, I don't be fed everywhere, but like, we have to have places that we are going to be fed and learn and realize I can grow in every situation without learning everything. The world can teach me things even though I don't agree with everything, right?
So to be open to who God might use or a teachable moment, coachable moment to you as a leader can come from anybody, because we might miss out on something really good otherwise.
Absolutely. And so it's just that humility to approach every situation and ask the question, what can I learn from this, versus I think we should enter into every situation. And we talk about this with servanthood. We say you should enter into every situation asking how I can serve. But I think we should also enter into every situation asking how I can learn. And I think when we do those two, we really have a very humble attitude that's not about me, but it's about how Jesus can use this situation.
Yeah, when I was on my internship in the district, and maybe I've told the story before, but I was on my internship and I was actually teaching one of the DCE cluster meetings. And there's like 20 or 30 at that time DCEs in our district. And I remember the oldest DCE, and that was Nathan Eichmann. And as I started to teach, he pulls out this note card from his pocket and a pen, and I realize he's taking notes on what I'm saying. Now, I would love to say I was speaking this brilliance, but I was doing like a book review, and I just kind of slammed the book before I got there. But I was really amazed that he found value in what I was saying. And some of the other older DCs were like, oh, she's just talking. They were kind of doing their own thing. But his intentionality to be a learner, or at least present himself as a learner, right, gave me so much value. And I never forgot that. I never forgot the opportunity, take the opportunities to learn from the person who who is right in front of you. He had way more experience than I did. He knew this much better than I did. But the value that he gave me as a leader was immeasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the heart and posture that you're going to have if you learn. And I think it's always fun. It's great to look at people that we see as people that can teach us and that we can learn something from. It's good to seek out those people. But I think just that posture of being a lifelong learner is so important.
What do you think we miss when we're not?
The chance to learn. I mean, just quite frankly, I'm not. But I think we lose the chance to practice humility, too. Like, when I enter in every situation asking what I can learn, because I think we can quite easily look for what I disagree with, but what can I learn from that? And again, I can learn from somebody that I disagree with. So I think we lose the chance to learn and the chance to practice humility. I think every time we sit at somebody's feet and learn, or sit on our couch and listen to a podcast or whatever it is, like, or drive. A lot of you are busy, so you're driving and listening to podcasts. Like, you're taking a chance. It's an opportunity to humble yourself. And I think that's a very valuable thing to do.
Who's the youngest person that you've ever learned from?
Besides my kids, or including my kids?
Yeah.
I talked about this in a sermon. My kids convinced me to keep using the TVs for, if you were with us for, you know, Christmas Eve, Advent, and then Christmas Eve worship, like, we use the TVs. I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for my kids. They taught me that, yeah, they were making an impact. I look back to, I guess, maybe a little more one, when I was a camp counselor. I had this cabin. I loved this cabin, but they were young cabin. It was like a bunch of 7-year-olds. So it was like 8 7-year-olds. And it was a rough week. They wanted to fish. I hate fishing. Like, they wanted to fish every day, and I hate fishing. But they were just, you know, there's such a group of kids. But this one kid, he, at the very last day, and this is like the end of the summer, so I'm like ready to get back to class and get back going. And I think, you know, Sarah and I were dating. I was ready to see her again. And this kid, he says this saying that I guess has been around for a while, but yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today's the present. That's why they call it a gift. Right? Like, but it was just such a fascinating thing for me to remember that, like, we can learn something in the moment. And, you know, that kid, God used him to say exactly what God needed me to hear in that moment. And so, that was, I'll probably say this. I think I said it wrong even when I said it, but, like, I'll always remember that saying.
Yeah, I think working with children in student ministries, I could list a lot of students on mission trips that have taught me way more than I taught them. But I think the one that keeps coming back is Anya. Not too long ago, maybe it was, when she led worship. And she started singing and came from this space of real true worship. And I love Samantha was kind of backing her up a little bit, but then Samantha kind of faded off because she was just in this amazing space of worship. And I was being led in that moment by somebody much younger than me, and it was just amazing.
And I think I like, in that vein, I think, you know, I need to applaud, especially the staff when I first came. Like, when I first came here to Peace, I was the youngest person on staff for like 4 or 5 years. I think until Grace and Joe joined our staff, I was the young, besides a few like ELC workers or nursery workers that were kind of like very part-time, I was the oldest staff for a long time. And yet, like, the staff did such a good job of, like, wanting to learn and grow from me. And that was just, like, still very humbling that, you know, I was 31 and still wet behind the ears, and they wanted to be led, and you know, and just, I think that was just so humbling. And so I think, like, the reality is, you know, we want to surround ourselves and realize that we can learn from anybody.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. That was really interesting because I think Pastor Hiller set you up for so much success, because he, not that I don't think we would have still, I think, honored you and followed you, but he was really good of stating, you're going to need to listen. You're going to need to let him lead. He's going to be a different leader than me. And you guys can set him up for great success or great failure.
Yeah.
And I think that's the collaboration. Sometimes we look at, oh, how does one person impact me? But the collaboration of a group of people that can help us to be successful as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we keep harping on that, but community, community, community. Like we learn the most from other people. We learn as I'm following Jesus with you and we're together in that. Right? Like we all got to be going the same direction. Like that's why the Bible is so important. That's why studying Jesus is so important. But like, you know, Jesus didn't call one disciple. He called a community of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think like that's, you know, just so important when we look at Jesus and how he led. He always led with other people. And we even see him asking them questions, right? Like seeing, you know, some of it was that he wanted to use it as a teaching moment, but some of them is, I'm sure he wanted to know where they were at and what they were thinking, and even though he already knew their thoughts and their emotions and because he's Jesus. But like we see him really engaging with people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the other thing, if we come into situations with the mindset of what do I have to learn, how does that also stretch us and challenge us as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's this, the nature of, well, I'm just going to, I'll say this a little differently. I think it gives us something to look forward to, that God could teach me something today. Because that's ultimately what it is. Like, if we're following Christ, then we have to believe that God's working, and then he's going to teach us something. And so I think it's that heart and posture to ask the question, like, Jesus, what are you up to today? What do you want me to learn? And I think sometimes when we, and that's a learned posture. I'm not sure we naturally do that. But, like, what if we looked at our kids with wonder? Like, God has given me these kids. What is he going to teach me today through them? Like, God has placed me in this office, cubicle, whatever it is today. Like, what is God going to teach me? Right? And so, really, it's not... I think that this heart of there's always something to learn isn't a heart of looking to other people to fix my life, but rather it's just this posture of saying, God, what are you going to teach me today? And I think the more we looked for God to show up in that way, the more he's going to show up. A Greg Finke example that I've always loved is I never knew how many Kia Sorentos existed until I bought a Kia Sorento. And it's like weird. It was almost like when I bought a Kia Sorento, that's the SUV we have, like everybody else bought a Kia Sorento at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like how come everybody copied me? Like, am I a trendsetter? Like, but it's not that, is it? It's that once I had that in my mind, I knew that I owned a Kia Sorento, I started looking for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think like when we start our day with this heart and our posture of, God, what are you going to teach me? What are you going to show me? Where are you going to exist? Mm-hmm. Once I start looking for that, then I'm going to start seeing it. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, I think that's a bigger thing in here, not the importance of being a lifelong learner, but like, are you going to start looking for Jesus to show up? And once you start looking for him to show up, you're going to see a lot more where he's showing
up. Yeah, he is faithful.
Yeah.
He will show up. Yeah, that you talked about Greg Finke, it reminds me of the black bee. We don't see God because we don't look for God, right? And when I'm looking, I'm so intentional. You know, I am going to see him. He is going to show up. He is faithful.
Yeah, and I think it fits really well into this, like I think the value in thinking about how is God going to show up in this sense of being a lifelong learner, we're asking the question, how is God going to show up to teach me something today? And I think we really, like, God does want to teach us. He does want to grow us. And it makes it a little more clear than just how is God going to show up? Well, he could show up anywhere. But, like, when we ask, like, yes, how is God going to show up? He can show up any way he wants. But what is God going to teach me today? Like, it gives me something a little clearer to grab onto, because we have no doubt God wants to teach us.
Which is one of the biggest compliments you can really receive, is that you're coachable, right? And when you're looking for God to show up and to teach us, what are you going to teach me today? You're being coachable.
You
have
are.
A coachable spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're asking, how can God work through people I agree with and people I disagree with and people I don't respect and people I respect? And it does give you a very good coachability.
As we were talking about the fact that we were going to do this topic, I kept coming back to golf. I can't play right now because it's so cold outside, right? But golf is one of these lifelong sports. Mm. You are always working on something. And I thought it was going to be a sport that I arrived, that I could just defeat, I could nail it, I could do great. And then I come back to golf league next season, and then I'm learning something new. Maybe my foot's not in the right spot. Maybe I'm not holding it the same way. And I got to work on things all over again. Yeah. It's constantly learning. How do we stay engaged as leaders to constantly be learning? Like, how do we not go, I've got it, I'm good. You know, or, you know, I just don't have time to learn something else. I don't want to learn something else. But to stay open and coachable our whole life on our faith, how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of piggybacks a little less we talked about last episode, and that's the beauty of failure, right? When you're playing golf, right? And I know just a little bit. I don't play golf. I go to the driving range and hit balls with Caleb sometimes, but like, when you're doing it wrong, like, so I think about my father-in-law, like the best lessons I have is when he's there and he's telling me, and you know what it really usually is? It's usually, yeah, that one didn't feel right, did it? And I'm like, yeah, well, here's what you did wrong, right? Like it's, but I don't learn from the place of, well, I did it right. I learn from the place of I did it wrong. And so I think like the value of being always coachable comes from understanding that you have failures, that there's things that aren't quite right. And I could look at him and say, well, you're not a golf pro. Like, you're not a professional teacher. You don't have anything to teach me. Like, I need to go to a golf pro. But no, he has something to teach me. Right. Like, A, he understands golf better. But like, B, he's also looking at what I'm doing. And so I think like that is a place that we can always be coachable, because we know we could always do it better.
And it's being vulnerable with somebody to allow them to coach us too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we let other people speak into us? Yeah. I think that's hard. It's hard sometimes to hear, because especially like if it is a thing that they see something that's wrong, like that hurts sometimes to have somebody else call that out. But that's one of the gracious things that people can do. Like, I don't, like, it's funny in golf, like, it's real easy to, like, I can look at my father-in-law doing that and I don't snap back at him. Well, but sometimes in life we do that.
Yeah.
We snap back at people. And what if instead we saw that when someone tells something to us, and not everybody, when somebody tells something to us, they have the best intentions. What if we chose to just believe that? They were saying it not from a place of hating or not from a place of not understanding us. But what if we took it as, well, they might have the best intentions for me. And then my choice, even in golf, is to listen or not listen. Like, that's always your choice.
Right.
But what if we slowed down and actually just heard what they're trying to say and asked, you know, is this true? Is this loving? Is this helpful?
Yeah, it was interesting. You and I had a coachable moment last week. I sat down and shared with you that I wouldn't be going on the mission trip this year. And I know I need to not go. I know Thomas needs that opportunity to lead the team. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go in the future, but this one's pretty crucial for him to lead. And I remember I shared it with you, and you looked at me and you went, okay, so what are you needing from me right now? And I was like, well, nothing really, except the accountability that I'm not going to go. And I just need the affirmation that I'm doing the right thing. And it was a good coachable moment, because you were like, well, you need to say this to Thomas. You need to let him understand that you know this and have a conversation around it. And, you know, it's in those moments when that we become better leaders. I'm not there yet, right? But it's being able to be coached to have somebody speak that truth in. You spoke some truth into me, but and then I was able to go and act on it. It's not easy, because when we say it, then it becomes real.
Yeah.
But or when somebody speaks something into us, it becomes even more real. But we will be better for it as leaders. And I think it's striving to be the best leader that God's called me to be. I don't have to be you. I don't have to be Thomas. I don't have to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just being the leader and showing up that God wants me to be.
Yeah. No, I think that's so true. I think it's hard to live in the hard, but it's the only way we get better, right? We don't get better at golf if somebody's not looking over our shoulder. We don't get better at life if somebody's not speaking hard into us. And I think there's times where we need to just be encouraged, but there's times when we need to have hard conversations. And so I think we got to look at that as a blessing, like that someone cares enough, because you know this, like, when we say something hard to someone, that's hard for us.
True.
The easy thing is to just, yeah, you know, I'm with you. This is hard. This is challenging. But it's hard to speak hard. I don't think nobody does that and said, oh, yay, I get to do a challenging thing today. Like, nobody looks forward to that. Like, I get to challenge somebody today. I don't know. Maybe there are people that look forward to that. I don't. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think we got to have that, to remember that when somebody says something hard to us, it was probably hard for them to say it. And so they thought about it, they prayed about it, and I think it at least minimum, you don't have to listen to everybody, but minimum you have to ask yourself, what was that kind? Was that loving? Did I need to hear that? And I think you at least have to ask that question. I mean, if you slow down and ask that, I think a lot of times you're gonna see that God had something to teach you there.
Yeah, and then your leadership goes to greater heights because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because somebody else is speaking into you.
So I want to give a teaser as to upcoming podcast. So we kind of, again, really honed in for a few weeks here on leadership and some things that we really want to challenge you as you step forward. And now we're about to walk into, we're going to talk a little bit about Greg Finke's 5 questions, what it's like to have that missionary mindset. But then we're going to talk to some actual people who are living out ministry in their lives and what's happening.
Yeah, and we have some repeats, maybe some new ones here. But yeah, really excited about that. And just reminding, like, that I think this is always this reminder of what our mission is, this to seek Jesus. Like, we want you to be the best leader so that we can seek Jesus together, so we can reach one more in Christ. Like, and that's just so important.
And that's the ultimate, to reach one more in Christ. It's a movement. This is, mm-hmm. It's not stagnant. It's not just sit in your leadership groups and continue to gain all this information. Yeah. But we really want to equip you and help you to grow and take that next step.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's absolutely. It.
That's all I have. I'm just going to agree.
And with that, thanks for joining us for Jesus-Centric Leadership.